let's take a moment and bring our minds to rest, just sort of informally, just let it settle. And in particular, let's bring our attention out of our thoughts and whatever we had to go through to get to our seat today and whatever is going on in the world that's really distracting, and bring our attention into our body, grounded with our feet on the floor, our seat on the seat, space around us. Just relax. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken. Through all the virtues such as giving, may I reach Buddhahood for beings. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken. Through all the virtues such as giving, may I reach Buddhahood for beings. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken. Through all the virtues such as giving, may I reach Buddhahood for beings. Prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, urging, supplicating, whatever virtue I've collected, I dedicate it to awakening. The ground perfumed and strewn with flowers, Meru for continents, sun and moon, this imagined Buddha field offering, may all beings dwell in the pure realms according to the different propensities of beings. Please turn the wheel of Dharma, great lesser and uncommon. Our Dharmas of Gampopa. Dadan sem shantam che lo che sudra or zinji lap du sol. Che lam du dra or zinji lap du sol. Am chupa so or zinji lap du sol. Chupa yeshe sutra or zinji lap du sol. I pray for blessing me, my mind, and the minds of all sentient beings turned toward the Dharma. I pray for blessing may the Dharma become the path. I pray for blessing may the path clarify confusion. I pray for blessing may confusion arise as wisdom. And from the aspiration to excellent conduct. Lai ke dang lu dang nu chen ke chupum da da mi ke nam dang dro a kun ji da ke ji tsam bar tam che ke di da ki che ten to. In the tongues of Nagas, Yakshas, gods, those of demons and of humans too, in the many languages there are, may I teach the Dharma in them all. And now the reminder for arousing bodhicitta at the beginning of teachings, as always recited by Lama Norla Rinpoche before he taught. Let us begin by giving rise to the thought that in order to benefit all sentient beings whose numbers fill the extent of space, I must attain the level of perfect enlightenment. In order to bring this about, I will practice the profound Mahayana Dharma by way of study, contemplation, and meditation. Okay, we do meditation next. We're going to do again, as we did last week, the meditation from Pema Chidren. But we can do the preliminaries. We'll lead into it with the same preliminaries we use for the Two Wings of Awakening. So first we just again bring our minds to rest, or simply, you know, settle further into our resting state. Making sure our spine is straight and our body is relaxed and grounded. These are very important points. And within that, we'll just touch on each of the four thoughts. We all know what they are. Precious human existence. Take a moment to appreciate that. Impermanence and death. It's going to end. Karma, cause, and result. What happens? Our future is up to us. Our future depends on what we do now in this lifetime, in this moment. And then finally, the perils of samsara. There's really no point in trying to improve our samsara. We need to escape it for ourselves and for all beings. So all of our efforts should be guided, should be directed towards liberating ourselves from samsara so that we can put the oxygen mask on the person next to us. And then we take a moment to empower our practice by requesting the blessing of our root teacher or the Lama or Chenrezig, anyone who represents awakened mind for us, whatever we feel most connected with. Visualizing the Lama or the Buddha or Chenrezig on the crown of our hat on a lotus and moon seat in a body of light, a Sambhogakaya body basically, radiating love, compassion, and bodhicitta, which we all. And with or without words, we simply request their blessing to empower our own practice and our own path. And having received that blessing, we visualize them descending into our heart center where they continue to radiate love, compassion, bodhicitta, and awakening. So Pema Chodron asks us to sit quietly and just feel what we feel right now. We don't need to make any kind of a big deal about it or explore it or deepen it or question it. Just whatever feelings we have, just let them be there and tune into them. And she says it can be quite difficult, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today in class. It can be quite difficult, but it's good to try. Eyes open or closed, just sit and tune in. Not asking any specific questions, just getting a general sense of how we feel, however we define that. So she asks, how do you feel physically? Scan the body. Do we have any pain, any discomfort in our body? Just noticing it. If you need to make some adjustment or if that helps, that's fine. Maybe it's something that we can't change. So we simply make sure that we know that it's there within the context of limitless awareness. Like it's not the only thing in our attention, but we place some of our attention on it while letting our mind remain open and vast. Aware of all sensory input, all thoughts flitting through our minds, but noticing how we feel in our body. Just a check-in. And so we also ask ourselves, how do you feel emotionally? It can be specific, or you can keep it at the level of pleasant versus unpleasant, comfortable or not comfortable. Again, not getting into any storylines, but just being aware of any feelings, emotional feelings we may be experiencing in our stream of being at this moment. Sometimes they lurk without being defined, without being noticed, and they influence our speech and our actions unconsciously. So we want to be conscious of what we're feeling. And so if you can't identify any way that you feel, that's fine too. It's not like a quiz. There's no right or wrong thing to identify. Sometimes it's numbness. Sometimes we can't get to an emotional feeling. We think maybe nothing's there, but sometimes there is. But we don't need to dig for it. If numbness or just okayness is what we feel, then we rest in that. That's fine. just resting in whatever we feel. And then taking it a step further, in the words of Pema Chodron, let however you feel be fine. That's a separate step, because usually there's some judgment involved in having a reactive emotion. Let however you feel be fine. Whether it's comfort or discomfort, whether it's physical or emotional, let however you feel be fine. Not trying to suppress or take the edge off whatever we may be feeling if it is unpleasant or uncomfortable, but just letting it be fine however it is. We don't have to fix it or manipulate it. We don't have to mask it or dress it up. We don't have to judge it or try to stop it. This is a process of becoming familiar with ourselves, which is the meaning of the word meditation, to become familiar with our mind. And Pema Chodron says that sometimes if people are contacting an unpleasant emotion or an emotion that they feel like judging, then sometimes it's helpful to touch their heart. She put her hand on her heart or touch their face as a gesture of kindness and acceptance. And that may or may not be helpful to any individual, but she says that people that she works with sometimes do find it helpful. That's how we reassure other people often. That's how we reassure children, is we might put our hand on their arm or give them a hug, letting them know that we feel that it's okay, like whatever they're going through is okay. So if we're wandering off into thoughts or losing track of what we're doing, just come back to just homing in on however we're feeling. But again, it's only taking a small fraction of our attention. We're still aware of that we can see things, that we can hear things, that we feel things with our body in a tactile sense, the temperature of the room, a breeze. We feel things internally, sensations. But a small part of our attention rests with our feelings, just letting them be. And they may completely dissipate as we're doing this, or they may not. They may strengthen, I don't know. Whatever happens, the point of this meditation is that whatever happens is okay. I just want to insert, as we're experiencing this, that sometimes we're dealing with an emotion that can be overwhelming and overly distressing. And in that case, it's fine to let go of that awareness and choose something else to focus on. You could go to your breath. It won't make the feeling go away, but by taking your attention off of it, it lessens it. It lessens your engagement. So she ends by saying, cultivate a sense of open-hearted receptivity to whatever is arising in your experience without narrowing it down into good or bad. This starts with just feeling, just noticing pleasant or unpleasant and letting it be okay. So let's rest with okayness, whatever we may be feeling, good or bad. Rest with okayness for another minute. And again, if you need to go to something like the breath or noticing sounds, that's fine. Or you could let go of having any focus and just rest in open awareness. And now let's all just let go of any focus we may have and tune into just vast open awareness. All senses open, including being aware of thoughts. Feeling grounded with our feet on the floor, space around us. And now, whenever you're ready, just coming back to class-type awareness. Interactive awareness. So I'm unmuting the last person who arrived, who's identified by a 914 phone number, and I can't remember who has that number. So who are you?
Mickey.
Oh, Mickey. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, children. Hi, everybody.
Glad you can be here.
Me too.
I think some people don't know who you are. Mickey is a member of our Sangha at KTC. She's a local. Now, are you? You're a therapist, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So therapy works with people who are. Would you want to just say very briefly what you do?
Sure.
Rather than you try
I'm
to
a psychotherapist. And collaborative divorce coach. My primary work is helping people get through divorce. I'm a parent coordinator with the courts and mediation. I do mediation between parents who have problems, you know, making things work with the kids. That's my primary. I also do equine therapy and working with horses and groups of people who, you know, we feel can benefit by that.
She took me to
her horse. Of course, I could go on and on, but
yeah, no, well, there is a lot that you could say. I was just going to share that you took me to your horse place one time, and it was just lovely.
Yes.
So I'll get to you just a second, Doc. I just wanted to let Mickey know because I can't remember if you've been to one of these classes before. That we keep people muted because there's background noise, but you can unmute yourself or just let me know. Well, I guess you could give me a chat or raise your hand in Zoom if you know how to do that. If you have anything you want to say. So everybody can unmute themselves at will to speak or just let me know they'd like to be unmuted. All right. So Namdok, I'm unmuting you.
Where does Mickey live?
Mickey, you're unmuted.
I'm in Garrison, New York, but I work, I cover from Poughkeepsie down to the city.
Thank you.
And she's also, she helped us out at KTC quite a bit in the aftermath of last year's events, last year's distress with her psychotherapeutic skills. She also is a member of the Ethics Council at KTC. So, and she's also, how we met her is that she has been coming to the Tuesday night study group at KTC for several years now. So anyway, that's the story of Mickey for those of you. So Mickey, up in the right, I don't know if you have people in the same order as me, but we have Patrick, the 957 phone number. That's Patrick, and his wife Marilyn is usually with us, but she couldn't be with us today, and they're in Washington, D.C. I hope everybody doesn't mind if I just go around and do an introduction. They lead our Sangha in Washington, D.C., and they've been doing it for, I think, almost 20 years. I'm next, you know me. And then Deidre, you probably have met Deidre. She is now, Deidre, I'm just going to unmute you. Just say where you are. And whatever
story. Yeah, I'm in California, but I used to be in the Key West Sangha, and so part of our Key West Sangha is here today. Kathy, right. Valerie, and Namdok, and me.
Right. Yes. This group, study group, is actually the Key West Sangha. They just opened it. We've been meeting for several years, and they opened it when they all scattered around the country. They opened it to anybody who wants to join. John Renish, do you want to say who you are? You're
okay.
Unmuted. You don't have to.
So I'm John, and I'm in Virginia, but
I think John froze. I'm just going to say that he's a member of the Washington, D.C. Sangha as well. And then we have Kathy and Macy, who I'm not able to unmute. Oh, you're not on. Okay, now you're unmuted.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Macy.
Yeah, we're in Maine, but part of the Key West Sangha.
Right, that's right. All right, and Valerie?
I'm in Brooklyn, and then I go to Florida for the winter.
Yeah, so she's Key West Sangha too. She's been around for a few years. Okay, and you know Lama Jinzong, so we're going to skip over her. And Namdot.
Hi, I'm in the Key West, and I might know you, but I'm not 100% sure because I've attended a lot of those Tuesday classes at the monastery when I'm up there.
Yeah, and I see.
Familiar.
Yeah, yeah, we can see Mickey. Okay, Chet.
Hello, Chet's in New Hampshire. I sit with the Portsmouth group and sometimes tour over to KTC.
Right, and I'm hoping to finally meet Chet.
Yes,
I think you're going to be there in October, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Fanny. I don't know if you know Mickey or not.
I don't know. I don't know. Hi, Mickey. I'm in Kansas City currently, and I was part of the KBC Sangha and also KTC. And this is.
Oh, sorry. I accidentally muted you. My apologies. Oh, there she is. There's Fanny.
Hi. Oh, you muted me. So I'm in Kansas City currently with my soon-to-be 95-year-old mom, and I was a member of KDC for about, I don't know, Patrick, how long? Yeah. 12 years, 13 years. Years, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
and then
a lot
KDC,
yeah.
And KTC, you know, doing practices there, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Fanny. And Mark Hoyer, I think you're our last one.
I'm always invisible.
Yeah.
I'm inside the Beltway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
And long time practitioner.
Yeah. Okay. And Mark and John help us with technical things. They do. John does the recording, and Mark posts them or gets them ready. Like he posts them. Yeah, on a web page that I link to on my website. All right. Well, I think that was good. It's always good to sort of check in with people. And nice to have you, Mickey. You can be on video or not on video, whatever you prefer.
Thank you.
So, where we are today, we've done all our preliminary things, right? So, we would have been discussing Gampopa today. We were going to kick off our study of the Ornament of Precious Liberation, but I just got swamped in the last week and didn't have time to prepare. So, we're doing our second week of just talking about these teachings. Now, Mickey, you got... did you get the summaries that I sent of Pema Chidren's retreat? Okay, good. Okay, so you know what we're talking about then. So we're just going to talk about those more. What happened last week was I was prepared to do some reading and, you know, introduction of it, but everybody had read it, and it just from the get-go turned into a very lively discussion. So we can continue that today, but if it doesn't happen, I'm prepared to to go over parts of it again. And I wanted to start with, and some of our therapists here, I think we have two therapists on hand today, and we have a third one, Andy Yale, who's sometimes with us. One thing that we did not talk about last week, and I see that it's also ended up not in, I think it's not in the summary that I typed up of Pema Chidren's teaching. She did talk, maybe in the question and the answers, about how to use these teachings, how to work with these teachings if you have a history of trauma. And that's something I really should have talked about at the beginning last week, because it can be traumatic. And if anyone is fortunate enough not to have had major trauma in their life, then you may not, you know, it may not make sense, but this can be very triggering. This kind of work can be very triggering for people. So I just wanted to touch on that, and if what she did, she talked about, and I don't know if Mickey was actually live streamed or was at those teachings, but I live streamed them, and she talked about how very briefly how to work with these teachings if you have that kind of a history, if you could be triggered by feeling what you feel, like you can't even get to it being okay because you become so overwhelmed. Like with like you, the trauma overwhelms you. You have flashbacks. You know, you go into a trauma activation. So she says, don't try to use them on strong emotions. Don't try to work with your anger or your sense of deficiency. Like if that is triggering for you and becomes overwhelming, work on something like your favorite restaurant is closed when you get there. And that's like a small thing. And you could, you know, whatever feeling comes up about that, you could apply these teachings to it. But don't try when you're remembering your mother abusing you or whatever it was. And so if Mickey or Chet has anything to say about that, you're welcome to. And if anybody has anything to add to that. All right, well, just in case. Okay, so does anybody have anything that they would like to share or say about, have you been working with these teachings in the last week? Okay, Deidre, I'm unmuting you.
I don't know if I would say I was working with them, but I become much more distinctly familiar with how they relate to being trapped in samsara. I think it's kind of definitely drives that nail home again about, you know, there's no fixing samsara. No matter what realm you get into, there's a problem, you know. So I think it's made me a lot more generous as far as looking at other people and where they are and what realm they're in.
Yeah.
So even if watching the news, there's something that's normally annoying, I'm looking at it more like, I can see the entrapment that either watching it is a trap, but also being in it is a trap.
Yeah.
And then, you know, knowing when the limit is, turning it off, but then noticing again, what's left over is the awareness that just everybody's trapped in some form or another, and dealing with it in whatever way that they can or seem to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't look pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, it really doesn't. Sometimes in ourselves it doesn't look pretty either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it actually brings stuff up. You know, I think
I'm sorry, what brings
I think any Dharma practice brings stuff up. You know, I in the keys they have these canals, and when the temperature changes, all the sludge from the bottom comes up to the top. And so you see it. It's there anyway, but you just don't see it. So for me, I always kind of use that as an analogy of whenever there's a new awareness or a new practice or you're doing something in the Dharma, it brings up the sludge and then you get to look at it. So I really appreciate Pema Chodron's way of dealing with it, which is kindness to yourself, which of course makes you kinder to others, I think, and seeing their sludge coming up.
Well, she says that knowing it in ourselves is the doorway to compassion for others who go through the same thing. And we know how hard it is because we deal with it too, or we've dealt with it.
Yeah.
You opened last week very eloquently reading the first paragraph of my summary of Tim's commentary, when we don't understand mind, it becomes the lens through which we see the world. A peaceful mind sees a peaceful world. A fearful mind sees a threatening world. An agitated mind sees a chaotic world. An impoverished mind sees a desolate world. When mind is stable, we see the world as it is, open, fluid, workable. So sometimes we get trapped and we see the world as a threatening place, or we see the world as a place that's judging us, or we see the world at a place as a place that makes us very angry. And when you're stuck in it, you don't have the fluidity to react from a different place. Mm-hmm. You react from the place you are. And so the point of these teachings, I think, is to watch that in ourselves, because as Buddhists, watching our mind is what we do. To watch and notice that in ourselves, and then to develop an attitude towards it of not being judgmental, but just letting it play out internally, which then helps us not act it out externally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the other thing that was very helpful was actually what Lama Jinsong brought up last week too, and that's that our opinions are just our own. Right. But there's nothing else.
And then we turn them into solid realities, which become polarities with people who don't agree with us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Deirdre. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say? Lama Jinsong, you're unmuted. Oops, so you're not unmuted.
I just have a question. When Tim, it's Tim, right? Yeah, Tim, on the back of his thing, page, like the last page, when he says, we come to our realm via our way of freezing, when he uses the term freezing, is that just the same as saying stuck? Like by
no.
There, what does he mean by freezing?
I think he means stuck, but I think he's also maybe referring to what's the triple reaction that we can have to fight, flight, or freeze?
I've never heard of that.
Fight or flight, is that, am I using the right term, fight or flight?
Yeah, that's what I know of.
And freeze is another one. We have Fanny would like to say something. Fanny?
Oh, yeah. Having been an experiential person with freeze, the polyvagal nerve in our sympathetic nervous system freezes and we overcompensate. Oh. A lot of us have, so there's the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. You know, the sympathetic is our stress response. So sometimes it's not just fleeing or fighting, it's actually getting stuck in your neuronal grooves of our habitual, you know, the kleshas of our tendencies. And that can come up later in trauma, and it can be triggered by the most innocuous thing, but has roots in what has frozen in our sympathetic nervous system. So a lot of this work about observing our body is very much part of somatic experiencing, which speaks to this freezing. This is very, very rampant in our Western culture. So I don't know if that helps, but it's the polyvagal nerve, and it's subtle, but it's we get stuck. So think about being frozen, numb to things, you know, emotionally, emotively, that we haven't dealt with.
Okay, right. Yeah, I can speak to that from my own experience. That, you know, my mother was a very violent person. Unpredictably violent person. And I didn't have the choice to fight, and I didn't have the choice to flee. So I froze and just numbed out. And so I got very stuck in that. That's something I still work with. I got very stuck in my response to stress or any kind of thing that I feel is aggression or threatening is freezing. So I think that's what Fanny was describing in very like technical terms. And thank you very much for that, Fanny.
Okay.
So Lama Jinsong, I'm going to leave you unmuted in case you have anything to add anytime. But yeah, I think Tim's using it. I mean, I think he's referring to that, but I think he's also just using it as stuck. You know how people, I don't know if people still do that. I know when I was younger, like older people, like my stepmother had this hairstyle that was like from the 50s because it was her hairstyle. And she never updated it. It was this frizzy little perm thing. And you could just date like when she froze, like when her sort of identity solidified and she was that person with the 50s frizzy hair. We can do that with our emotions too, our emotional responses. And that's, you know, that's realms. Like our realm could be a frizzy 50s perm.
Well said. I understand
not,
it.
Now. Not so much, but you know. Okay, anybody else have anything? When we don't have things to say, because obviously the dynamic is a little different this week than it was last week, there's lots of meditations here from the retreat that we can do. So we'll probably do a couple of meditations together too, working with these.
Children, how do you raise your hand in the group?
Oh,
Can somebody explain?
I just unmuted myself. I don't know. Okay.
Yes. That's fine. But John's going to explain how to raise your hand.
Okay.
I was just going to say like this. But also, if you go to, on the bottom, participants, I believe.
Right, that's it.
Well, that's
and then,
it.
Yeah, tap on that, and then it pops up a list of who you want to communicate or everybody.
Okay.
And one of the options is raise hand, right? My screen is different. I don't have a raise hand option because I'm the host. So I can never tell people how to do it. Okay, but anyway, Mickey, you're on now.
The piece of the reading that I particularly liked was when he describes walking next to the river.
Yeah.
And we're not the river, but we're walking next to it. And so the river is a metaphor for thoughts and emotions. And if we're conscious enough to just let that pass, mm-hmm. You know, be aware of it, not in denial, but you know, that we don't have to be that. We don't have to be whatever is flowing by. We can release it and let it go. I really like that metaphor that he used.
That's on page 2 of Tim's summary, if anybody wants to look. Yeah, I think that's the basic tool we have for that is meditation. That is the thing that we learn from meditation is to disengage from whatever turmoil, you know, we're caught in, is to step back and just apply awareness to it, like become aware, oh, this is happening, as opposed to just being completely in the river.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. And someone had given me, she belongs to a Buddhist group too, and what I've been working on this week is answering 3 questions in my journal. The first one is, what have I received? For contemplation. The second one is, what have I given? And the third is, what damage have I caused? So I've been working on those over the past week, just to kind of be more conscious of what realm I'm in and what my belief system is at the moment.
Could you say again what the 3 questions are?
Yes. What have I been given?
Right. Okay.
What have I received? No. What have I received? I'm sorry.
Okay.
What have I given?
Okay.
And what damage have I caused?
Oh gosh. And do you apply that to specific situations, or it's just a general question and it could be different situations for each one?
I think it's different. What I found was that the damage I do primarily is to myself in various ways.
Yes.
You know, by not doing self-care and, you know, study and meditation as much as I would like. But I like to be able to write things. It helps me to process anything I'm mm-hmm. doing. So I just found those questions helpful because I find that I'm in different realms at different times, and it helps me to be conscious of mm-hmm. where I am.
Okay, thank you. Shall we do a meditation then? Okay. I'm just going to pick another one. I have a list of meditations. I wasn't sure whether to share it with people or not, but we'll see. Perhaps I'll send it to everybody and then you can work with them on your own too. I'm just going to go to the next. I kind of put them in the order of how they develop. We'll just do the next one, which is, it's just a basic exercise in tuning into open awareness and choosing where to place your awareness. Basic meditation, but just from a slightly different perspective than we've traditionally learned it. So this is from Tim Olmsted, and he said, sit in whatever posture you've been taught. As if at the end of a busy, stressful week, you come home. Okay, so let's all get in the mentality of busy, stressful week. I don't have to go anywhere to do that. Busy, stressful week. And so it's over. You've come home. It's Friday night. or for Jinzong, it's Monday morning. Maybe come home, you throw down your bag, like whatever you have to carry to work with you every day, and you completely let go into your, you just flop into your favorite chair and you just let go. So he says, imagine doing this. So he says, and here he tells us how to do it. He says, first we'll begin by getting or remaining really uptight for 5 or 10 seconds. And again, if you have a trauma history, if you should have that, you may not want to do this part of it. But for most of us, just like stress out for 5 or 10 seconds. You know, mentally you could have a lot of thoughts, or you could just bring to mind something stressful, or just feel what stress feels like. And then just release it all. Imagining yourself, he says, almost like a corpse. And in another meditation, he says that we do that sometimes at the beginning of our meditation so that we know what it feels like to be relaxed, because sometimes we carry stress with us and we don't know how to let go of it. So you ratchet it up and then you let go of that. So we're in our favorite chair. We've just experienced a lot of stress and busyness, and now we're just relaxed. This is analogous to the traditional metaphor of the bale of hay, that it's like cutting through the binding of like a bale of hay, and the hay just goes like that. So we just rest like that briefly, just in that relaxed state. He says, now open your eyes if they're not already open. Notice that you can see light. Notice that you can hear sounds. You can feel your body on the cushion or chair. And know that you're here. Have a sense of where you are. So we're just opening all of our senses at this point sequentially. And he says, this sensing, feeling, touching, and knowing is what we refer to as awareness. You're somewhat relaxed because we just relaxed ourselves, and yet awareness is present. He says the essence of meditation is awareness. That's what we're becoming familiar with. In awareness, the lights are on, you hear the sounds. Awareness is simply that which knows that the lights are on and the sounds are happening. So just rest in that awareness. Okay, now he says, we'll do this one more time, then we'll play with awareness a bit. So let's go back to feeling what it feels like to be in the midst of busyness and a lot of things to do and feeling stressful. Just rest in that for a moment. And then just let go into your metaphorical easy chair. Notice that you can see light, that you can hear sounds, feel your body on the cushion or chair, any tactile sensations. And he says, know that you're here. What he's opening there is the mental sense. So be aware of any thoughts that you may have, any feelings. Just another sense in Buddhism. So our awareness is completely open to all of our senses. And this is awareness, this openness. Still very relaxed, like that bale of hay that's been loosed. I think that's a skill for most of us, certainly for me, is learning how to experience that relaxation, the relaxed aspect of meditation. Alertness sometimes comes easy because we're used to being alert, but relaxing is very important as well. So here we're focusing on the sense of relaxation. If you feel yourself tightening up in any way, just come back. Just let go again. Be that bale of hay again. What I often do in meditation, if I find I've gotten distracted or my mind is just busy, or I've lost track, or my mind has gotten dull, I do the sequence again. Go back to seeing light, noticing sounds, noticing tactile sensations, noticing any taste or smell, if there is any, and noticing thoughts, what's going on in the mind. And then I let go into just complete open awareness. He says, awareness permeates everything. So let's get a sense of that. We see, hear, sense, feel, and think all at the same time. We're not favoring any sense. They're all open. They're all equal. Resting like that. And now this is where we play with awareness a little bit. He's just giving us a sense of the second part of this, which is choosing where to place awareness. So right now it's just completely open. Every input that's coming in is equal. That's open awareness. So we're going to move to awareness with an object. He says we can take a portion of awareness or knowingness and place it on whatever sound we hear. Touch awareness with sound. So now we're more attuned to sound, but our other senses are still open. He said you still see and feel as part of your awareness touches sound. So just noticing, it's that old sound meditation we've done many times, just noticing any sound that arises without losing track of the other senses. And now we're going to shift our awareness. He says, now rather than sound, pick a visual object and place your awareness on that. And again, we're not losing track of sound and tactile sensations and thoughts, but more of our attention is on the visual object. We're not losing track of that. So he says, this presence, this knowingness, this awareness, we can move it wherever we want. We can choose what we want to attend to. Meditation, the word gom in Tibetan, means becoming familiar with the function of this awareness, this knowingness, how we use our mind. So that's the end of that meditation. So I find this a very useful method generally. Is just to start out with open awareness, just start out with no agenda whatsoever. And sometimes it takes, like for me personally, it takes my mind a few minutes to just, for me to even really become aware. I'm still caught in thoughts. I'm still like still something going on. Like I just haven't let go of an agenda yet. And then wham, you know, it's like, okay, the bale of hay, you know, and you're just in open awareness. And you can stay there. You know, if that meditation works for you, if you can remain in open awareness, that's called the king or the queen, as Tim says, or the queen of samadhi. That's Lama Nyingma Rinpoche taught that in the Dharma path. level one as the king of samadhi. The king of meditation is open awareness because it's getting very close to nature of mind meditation. It's like the pinnacle of shine meditation. But sometimes we need to ground our awareness. Like it just, you know, we're easily distracted, easily losing track. Our mind might be becoming dull. We get sleepy. When that happens, I find it very useful to go through this sequence or just to pick one. You could pick breath, but often I pick the sensory perceptions. I'll notice that there's light and visual phenomena and then sound and then tactile sensations and then thoughts. And I'll rest like that and then back to open awareness. And then as soon as I start to feel like I need to freshen it up again, I just go back through the sequence. And I find that very helpful, you know, just entering again and again into open awareness by means of placing our attention on an object for a short time or opening the senses sequentially. And that fits right in with the meditation instruction. It's an ocean of definitive meaning. It's in all the books. And Mingyur Rinpoche in particular reminds us of it a lot. Short session, many sessions. Like if you're, no matter how long you're sitting for, if you're sitting for 20 minutes, that might be like 10 sessions or 20 sessions where you just refresh it again and again. It's not something that you can maintain or that you need to maintain like evenly throughout the whole meditation. That's actually very hard to do and your mind can get very tight. So you just give your mind a little more freedom. And when you find that it's wandered off, that's when you refresh it with an object for a little while. So does anybody have anything to say about the meditation or anything else? Was that helpful, Deidre?
It was very helpful. I always took the many sessions literal, you know, like you sit down a whole bunch of times.
Yes, well, that too.
Well, I know that too, but of course there's, you know, within one session, there's many sessions.
Yeah.
Like you, so that was very helpful.
Yeah.
And yeah. I love the analogy of the cutting the wire on the bale, because I have done that. But if I had never done it, I don't know if I would relate as very, of seeing it open.
Yeah.
One of the ones that happened to me naturally was a bubble bursting, like a soap bubble. Like every time I would build something, like my mind would start calcifying back into concept and ideas. I would just kind of see this bubble just kind of open and then back into open mind again. But I love the analogy of the bale. Thank you.
Okay.
Good Thank reminder. You. I remember Rinpoche bringing that up on the Dharma path.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Jinzang.
So another very common description, if the bale doesn't resonate, is the idea of when you're just exhausted. If you've been running really hard or you're just working really hard, and that idea of you just sit down and, you know, you're so tired that you just, and like your mind goes still, you know, quiet, because you're so exhausted that no thoughts even, you're just allowing yourself totally to relax in that moment after being really, really exhausted.
Yeah. You know? That's something that Lama Noru Rinpoche taught us a lot too. Like that old story about, I can't remember who the teacher was. C2 Rinpoche who went on, no, it was Zhangguang Kongtrul, right? Who went hiking up, you know, a mountain with his tutor, and at the end of the day, he was completely exhausted. This is recounted in his biography, and his tutor said, let's sit down now, and this is the time to meditate. And that's when he first experienced the nature of mind directly, because his mind was too tired to do anything else.
Yeah, it just went blank.
Yeah, so Rinpoche said one time, I heard him say, he wasn't talking to me, but I overheard him saying, Westerners, when they're tired, they think they need to go to sleep. But really, it's the best time to meditate because the mind is so clear. He was just like, it's so clear. And I find that true too. And sometimes, I often, like before I go to bed, especially when I'm really tired and I just really want to go to bed, I take a few minutes and I just rest. And your mind is clearer then because you just can't generate any thoughts. So thank you, Jinsung, for bringing that into it. Anybody else? Any other topic?
Actually, I have a question. Yes. With the term open awareness, I mean, I have my concept of what the experience is, but the fact, you know, Lama Denis, who's a three retreat. Oh, shit, I got an Amber alert. Sorry.
Oh, well, let's all take a moment, do some taking and sending for whatever the situation is. That's a good cue for taking and sending.
You know, those terrible. Yeah. Oh. Oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Jinsung.
Yeah, that put me right in open awareness, frankly. But that noise.
Okay, I think that was Lama Norla Rinpoche from wherever he is, or Mingyur Rinpoche, or one of those teachers you have a strong connection with. Kenpo Soltan was like, wow. Okay, we got an opening here.
I think that was it. It was just like, because first Lama Denis was talking about, he's a French Lama who the previous caller Rinpoche actually gave him the title of Rinpoche. Well, the I don't know if you call it a title, but referred to him as the only Westerner that he said had enough realization to be given that kind of, you know, precious is what it literally means. But anyway, so, and he's taught several times here in KTC and these mindfulness training like retreats. But this idea he has about, he uses the term, maybe he says it's open awareness, whatever, but this idea of periphery where you actually.
Panoramic awareness. Panoramic.
Panoramic awareness, where you actually sit there and you go like this in your level of like your external, and then you make sure that you're looking at everything in that panorama in front of you without focusing on anything in particular. And that sort of gets me in that, but it still at some level has some conceptuality. So like when you're talking about like introducing slowly a level of being aware of one sense all the way up to the six senses, but then you drop into open awareness. So like somehow, I guess like maybe it's even semantic, but it's just like the idea to me is that I'm still aware of and differentiating between the senses, like, okay, there's right. a sound and I'm right. I'm aware, right. but I guess the open awareness is really where you let go of any kind of distinction and any kind of conceptuality about what it is, you know, like in that moment where I just heard the Amber alert and like everything went just like, whoa. Yeah. So is, I mean, I'm
right
curious.
On the border. You're right on that very fine border between Shine and nature of mind, because the nature of mind is when you lose the definition, like when you're just, you lose dualistic perception. In Shina, you've still got some dualistic perception, but, and that's why open awareness is the pinnacle or the king of Shina, is so close to nature of mind. We're still, as you said, probably differentiating between the senses. If we reach a moment where we're not differentiating, then we've wandered into nature of mind. The point of open awareness is it's not awareness of one sense, which is how we're usually taught it. It's like they're all equal. It's open to every sense.
So when you say, though, that you've introduced one sense, then the next sense, mm-hmm. then the next sense, and then finally you're in open awareness, you're just referring to the state in which it's not necessarily nature of mind. No, it just means you're open to every experience without clinging.
We're not using any object. It's the same as meditation without a support or Shine without a support. Exact same thing. So, but I think the point of it is like we're not closing anything off. So you go to the trouble, and we don't have to do this. You can just go straight to open awareness. But I find it useful to open each of the senses because it's a reminder that it's open, like you are hearing sounds. So often people think that meditation is shutting off, you know, outside. All the outside stuff is gone and you're just following the breath or whatever. But it's a state of complete openness and receptivity.
Okay, thank you.
A good clarification. Anybody else? So Are you finding it useful? I mean, I don't know if people are taking these teachings like literally out into the world with them, because we have so many techniques. It doesn't have to be this one that you use. But if you are using it like on the spot when an emotional reaction comes up, is that helping? Like, what's happening? I see Macy is nodding. Did you want to say anything, Macy, or are you just nodding is fine? I'm going to unmute you just in case. You
know, actually, I've used it several times since last week. And I told Kathy I used it yesterday. A friend of ours took her dog to be put to sleep.
Oh.
And it just touched me really emotionally. And I let myself do that for a minute, and then I looked at it, and I did Tonglen for our friend and her dog, and then for everybody that was going through that. Yeah. And I've done similar things almost every day since the class last week.
Yeah.
So I have found it really, really useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry about your friend's dog, though.
It's always sad, but it was a 7-year-old dog.
It
wasn't just for her dog. It was for my dogs and everybody's dog.
So, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Macy. Really helpful. Okay, good. That's great. So sometimes we hit a technique and we find that it is something that we can bring to mind, you know, when we need something to work with an emotional state. This is just one of many methods that we have. And again, to review, like the method, the actual methodology here is when you find yourself caught in an emotional reaction, whether it's anger or jealousy or desire or mental dullness or anything, whatever it is, or, you know, escapism, I guess that would be ignorance, is just like shutting it down, denial, whatever. Whenever you catch yourself either about to enter into one, or you have already, you find yourself in one, but you have that moment of lucidity where you go, oh, wait, I'm caught, I'm stuck. You could say I'm stuck in a realm. And then you could even identify the realm. Oh, this is anger. This is the hell realm. Or, oh my God, I'm so down on myself. This is the hungry ghost realm. Or I'm so needy. You know, I feel so much deficiency. Or I'm so upset that somebody did that thing that interrupted my routine. That's the animal realm. You could identify the realm. You don't have to. That's an optional step. But what you do when you find yourself caught in an emotional reaction is, first thing, become aware of your feet on the ground. Like, just ground yourself. Just open your awareness outside of that emotional reaction and notice your feet on the ground. Or if you're lying in bed, notice your body supported by the bed, that sense of groundedness. Then open your awareness further. Notice space around you. You can do this when you stub your toe. You can do this for physical pain too. It really helps, and I speak from experience, when you have intense pain, to just, like the bale of hay, you know, let it go. Open it all up. The sun is shining, or it's raining, or whatever. You just notice something outside your emotional reaction. So Pema Chodron suggests that what we notice outside our emotional reaction, just to get out of the river, this is what gets us out of the river being swept away by the current, is we feel our feet on the ground. We're on the bank of the river. We're no longer in the river if we can feel our feet on the ground. And then you open it up and feel space around you. And then you have enough disengagement. You're on the bank of the river now. You're not completely stuck in the emotion. No matter how strong it is, you're not completely stuck if you can do that. And that's when you tune in, like, what is this feeling? What is this thing that I'm carried away by? And you just let it be okay. You don't have to make yourself stop. That's a counterproductive method, is to squash it. Although that is our advice, to stomp on it. On emotional reactions, but it's stomping on it with awareness. It's like we're overwhelming it with awareness. We're just ratcheting up our awareness of it. I mean, that's what gets us out, but it's a non-judgmental awareness. It's a completely accepting awareness. You feel so angry, you just want to kill somebody. And you don't go, oh, no, that's too angry. You can't have those kind of violent thoughts. Like, that's not going to help you. You're not going to go out and kill somebody. You know that. So it's just a thought. As Lama Jinzong pointed out last week, it's just a thought. It's just an opinion. Whatever it is that's got you going, it's okay. You just look at it like, oh, it's like you're looking at TV. Oh, this is anger. This is what it feels like. And you just let yourself feel it without any judgment. If you can, if you have a traumatic background and that kind of thing activates you, then you have permission to back off from it. But it could still be helpful in an emotional reaction to open up your awareness, open up your senses. You don't have to go as far as focusing in on the emotion if you find that it's activating some past trauma, some emotional state that you really can't control. So that's the method. And yes, Jinzong.
I think it's really important too, like with the with your feeling, is to really, like, again, also keep letting go of the storyline. So that was helpful when you were leading the meditation, that you're feeling it, but you're not, again, identifying, you're not analyzing, you're not trying to contract again to pinpoint it and in that sense make it concrete by grasping at it. You're just aware of it, but with this open sort of spacious sense of being aware, you know, that's I think
yes,
that's
very helpful.
You know, no storyline, you know, not where is it coming from, what's going on. The minute you find yourself doing that, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It literally doesn't matter. I'm not going to go there, and I'm just going to, it's okay. Yeah.
So I, you know, what I did, one of the things I just said was to, you could identify the emotion or the realm. You don't even have to go that far. You know, you can just let it be a feeling. I think identification of it is okay. Like, oh, this is anger, because it helps to sort of distance ourselves from it a little bit. But Jinzong's right. The very first instruction for dealing with any overwhelming emotion or any strong emotion is drop the storyline. So thank you for that reminder. I wanted to just point out, I'm sure everybody saw this in the reading, but this was one of the things that most struck me, that I most carried away from the Pema Chidren and Tim Olmsted retreat, was when she said, in the human realm, we're always thinking, like, if only I could get it all together, then everything would be fine. If only I could get this job, if only I could buy that dress, if only I had more money, if only, like, I didn't have, you know, this disease, like, whatever it is, this illness. And the ultimate end of that, you know, is that we think if we get it all together, it will be all pleasure and no pain. Like, we could get to a point where we're just not going to have any more problems if we could just get it all together. And Tim emphasized quite a bit, like, you can't do that, because that's the nature of life. That's the nature of samsara. It's so many moving parts, you could never get it together. But still is our aspiration. And Pema Chidren said, that's the God's realm. Like, if we actually got that, that would be the God's realm. And it's not a good place to be. Like, that's the golden prison. And the suffering is just as intense when it comes. So I think that's helped me a lot to not think like that. Oh, if only I didn't have this happening, or if only this, if only that. It's like, oh, I would be in the God's realm. So anyway, that's just something that struck me. All right, shall we do another meditation? All right. All right, I'm going to skip. There's a couple more that are just about placement of awareness. I'm not sure I want to do that one. Well, do we want to do... All right, well, let's do... This is actually the last one of the seminar. I am going to email everybody the whole, like, list of meditations so that you can check them all out for yourselves. But I thought this was a really nice sequence. And this is one where we do place ourselves in a realm. So if anybody is not comfortable with that, then skip that part. Like, just rest in open awareness. If, like, you're too emotionally volatile at this moment, just rest in open awareness when we're plunging ourselves into the realm. Is everybody okay with a little plunging into the realm? Okay. All right. It's a big adventure. So I'm going to mute you, Lama Jinzong, while we do the meditation. So, again, check in with your posture. begin with a minute of open awareness. You could go through all the senses, or you could just go straight to all senses open. Just going to rest like that. Now touch in with your body. How does it feel? Don't try to change anything. Just noticing how your body feels. Let it be how it is, but just with awareness. So we're just going to start there with the body and get very familiar right now with how our body is feeling, which may or may not be connected with an emotion. But if we do have some tightness somewhere, just notice it. If you were really in an emotional reaction, you might be like breathing quickly, or your chest might feel compressed, or any number of other things. But right now, just noticing the physical aspect. Now touch in with your emotions. He gave some examples of something we might be feeling: a little excitement, sadness, anticipation, dullness, sleepiness, whatever you find, whatever emotion you find, just bring awareness to it. As if it were, this is me speaking, not Tim, but I'm getting the image of a Fabergé egg, as if it were a Fabergé egg. Like, we don't mess with it. We might, you know, we don't want to, we don't need to do anything except look at it. Now, how is your mind, as separate even from the emotion? Is it speedy, jumpy, agitated? Is it dull? Just notice your mental state. So we're just tuning in step by step: body, emotions, mind. How are they? So now, within this general state of awareness of how we're feeling at this moment, we bring a realm to mind. You can bring to mind how you usually imprison yourself, whatever emotional reactivity is most habitual, or a specific situation in which you feel imprisoned. Again, only don't go past your comfort zone on this. You can be a little uncomfortable. Just feel that realm. Feel it in your body. What does that realm feel like? The anger of the hell realm, the jealousy of the jealous gods, the blinderedness, the routine of the animal realm, the neediness or deficiency of the hungry ghost realm. Feel what it feels like in your body. See it in your mind's eye. Hear what's said in the realm. There may be like a voice in your head or somebody else's voice that comes to you when you're in this realm. So just let yourself be aware of whatever this realm brings up for you. Just letting ourselves experience our realm, a realm we're familiar with. So he says, first, just bring awareness to it, that there's some realmness there. And if you're not having a realm, no problem, just rest in awareness. Just bring awareness to the general feeling of that realm. And now let it sweep you away, fall into the river, like really bring up the emotion of that realm or the situation that has you in that realm. Not the storyline, but but the feeling of it. And now step out of it. Let some space in. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel space around you. You're on the bank of the river now, looking at what that realm is like. You may still be feeling it, but you have some distance on it now. Now, if you feel up to it, let it sweep you away again. Fall into the river again. Really let those emotions come up. And now step out again onto the riverbank and just bring space to the situation. Bring distance to the feelings. Now you're noticing the feelings and not caught up in them. The sequence is just to help give us a sense of what it feels like when you're caught in an emotion, to be able to step back a little bit and just look at it instead of being carried away by it. It can activate an emotion and you may carry that feeling for a little while, but as long as you do the next step, it's all right. Next step is to bring empathy, tenderness to it. Accepting however you feel. Caring about yourself, not judging. Letting it be okay that you feel that way. That you have that pattern in your life. Doesn't make you a bad person, just makes you a human person on the path. The awareness is what makes it the path. Now bring to mind others in your world, family, friends, people you know, who may experience the same realm. Knowing that it's the same for them as it is for you. That's how they feel when they're in that same realm. We could do some taking and sending here. Breathing in our own discomfort, breathing out happiness, freedom, peace for ourselves and for all others who experience the same realm. Now bring to mind the millions and billions of others around the globe who, like you, only want to be happy. Everybody's suffering, everybody's realm, whatever it is. Everybody has the same challenge. Breathing that in. Breathing out peace. Making sure there's no storyline alive in your mind. If the feeling is still there, that's fine. If it's dissipating, that's what will eventually happen, if not now. Just letting it be however it is for you and for everyone else. And he quoted Pema Chodron here saying, we're all in the same boat. So we'll end with a minute of open awareness, just letting go of anything, any conceptuality, any visualization, any realm. The feeling may linger, but that's okay. We're just going to rest in open awareness where the feeling is just one of the sensory perceptions we're experiencing. All equal. Completely receptive. And as Lama Narla Rinpoche often instructed us, we could rest in the essence of the one who is experiencing this emotion or this open awareness. Okay, so we'll come back to class now. We just have a couple of minutes left. Does anybody have anything that they would like to share or say or ask? Nikki, it looks like you might be raising your hand, but you're kind of dark. Am I muting you just in case?
No, I'm just coasting. It feels good.
Okay, all right. Okay, anybody have any? Oh, Patrick, sorry. I'm unmuting you.
This is about a story that I've heard about Shakyamuni's Buddha's, after his enlightenment, that he went to the God realm. Mm-hmm. Was that at the request of his mother, or did he think of it himself?
I don't know.
Mother was involved in that?
Yeah, it was the realm. His mother was in the Tushita realm, I think. This is Labap Duchen. The descent from the God's realm. That's one of the four major religious holidays in Tibetan Buddhism. But I don't know any details about it. That's something you could probably Google and maybe get more information about or look at a biography of the Buddha. But okay. I don't know. Jinzang, do you know? No, okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That's all right. No.
Yeah. It's coming up. I think that's our next holiday coming up. It's usually around November-ish. That's actually the date when a lot of the retreats begin, Labap Duchen. It's a very auspicious day.
Yeah.
Brings to mind what Pema Chidren said, that one of the things that all of the realms have is a helper, like a Buddha, mm-hmm. is present. A Buddha is always present, whatever realm you're in, and trying to help you. But when we're really stuck in the realm, we can't see that. So that's one of the advantages of disengaging in whatever way we can, is we can become aware of any help that may be available, which may be in the form of a Buddha, or it may be in the form of the Buddha's teaching, like applying some method that we know to work with the emotion. Because Buddha is our own mind, after all, in the end.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Then we'll do our dedication of merit. Dedicating all the merit of this discussion and this meditation to the enlightenment of all sentient beings, whatever realm they may be in. And again, you know, when we do our Chenrezig practice, this is another time that, like, these teachings could become very vivid. Like, now we know, like, the feeling of all those realms that we're visualizing Chenrezig liberating beings from. It's from the anger of the hell realms. I mean, it's even in the Pema Karpo prayer. It's from the anger of the hell realms and the neediness of the hungry ghost realm and the muteness, the ignorance of the animal realm and so forth, and the gods realm, the pride of the gods realm, and the jealousy of the almost God's realm or the jealous God's realm. These are all, like, it's just a new perspective on the Chenrezig practice for me too. So wishing freedom for all sentient beings. This merit may it win omniscience, defeat my faults the enemy, then from the rough and stormy sea of birth, old age, death, and disease, from this ocean of samsara, may I liberate all beings. They know things in their true existence, Kuntu, Zangpo, and Manjushri. To train myself in their example, I dedicate this practice fully. May every being through this practice completely gather merit and wisdom, attaining the two sacred bodies that merit and wisdom emanate. The blessings of the Buddha Kayas, the blessings of changeless Dharmata, the blessings of the steadfast Sangha, this dedication please fulfill. Letting our minds come to rest again just for a moment. And now I'm unmuting everybody. So next week we will start on Gampopa. So if, like me, you got behind this week, you still have time to read up on Gampopa's life through whatever resource you have online in one of the Geronimo translations, or the life of Gampopa by Jampa Mackenzie Stewart, a lovely biography. Not as long as it looks because there's some extra stuff on the lineage. The whole
hi, can you mute Fanny? Something's going on with Fanny, and I can't hear you. Sorry. Okay, sorry, Fanny. Okay, go on.
Okay. Could everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So next week we'll talk about the life of Gampopa. That's a promise.
Sorry, Fanny. I didn't mean it.
No, she knows. She understands.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody have a great week then.
You too.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
And welcome, Mickey.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Bye, everybody. I'm going to exercise my superpower and end the meeting for everybody.